Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On different pages, and it only lasted 1 year. Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of got some inside information that the big problem that they had was that the athletes here only could read the plays off of play cards compared to what he was trying to install as far as like the type of plays that Drew Brees.
I don't know if that's inside info. We all saw the offensive players and the quarterbacks looking at the cards. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, and it's not just Canada. There's a lot of offenses that have weird verbiage for him.
No. Canada doesn't use the cards.
Okay.
So in a nutshell, it said that the athletes here aren't as bright, so they couldn't handle the type of
what
play calling that he did.
Where are you getting this from, Fern? Look, nobody here has a lot of love for Matt Canada. Where'd you hear this from? No, put him back on. Where'd you hear this from? Huh? No, you said you had inside information, and you go on our station to say something like that. I'm not going to news here. Fern, I'm sorry, Fern. That's an allegation that you come on my show, and now it's going to reflect on me. Yeah. You just had a big-time shot at a big-time college football coach that you said insulted every one of his players by saying they were too stupid to play for him. So you tell me here on live radio that's going throughout 35 states exactly where you heard that.
Your words set, not mine. I said nothing about stupid. I said as far as I'm being able to interpret the plays and what was going on with it.
Oh, Fern, I'm dumping you. And here's the thing. And the reason I skip news is because we get callers like that who act like they can call up a phone line here and spout nonsense on a radio station that can't be fact-checked. Like I said, nobody who pays attention to LSU football or nobody who's covered the team for the last couple of years has any love lost for Matt Canada. That was a disaster. But to come on a radio station and to try to get through a call screener who is doing his job and puts you on because you sound like you know what you're talking about, and then to come spout that nonsense, Fern, shame on you. Absolutely shame on you. And I hope somebody recognizes that guy's voice and calls him out, because that's about the most irresponsible call I've had all year long on this radio station. That's a bunch of nonsense, and I'm not having it here on my show. I'm not doing it. That's not how I play here. You may find radio shows that do that, but Fern, that's garbage. That's absolute garbage. You're trashing somebody who's no longer here with a bunch of hearsay nonsense because you might think in your basement that's what happened. That's bogus. Absolutely bogus. Put him on a list. You got that number? Look that number up. I don't want that number on my show anymore, Logan. That's terrible. Fern. I've had Fern call before and try to do some stuff like that. That's nonsense. Let's bring on in Doug Mouton and try to make me a little happier here. WWL-TV sports director. Doug did not hear any part of that conversation, so I'm sure he was on hold for the last 30 seconds going, oh my goodness, what in the world's going on with Seth? Doug, save me here. What's up, man?
Seth is angry. That's what I know. That's all I know.
Yeah. No, I don't even want to go into it. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah,
right.
Let's not go into that. Doug, how you doing, man? We're almost to the regular season.
Let me say this, Seth. Like yesterday, today, like this is as good a time as there is in the year. You know what I mean? Tulane kicks off tomorrow. Southeastern kicks off tomorrow. LSU and Nichols kick off on Saturday. You know, the Saints have the final preseason game tomorrow, and then their season is a week away. Like, this is the time when it's all sort of percolating and, you know, optimism is high everywhere. And it's just a fun time, like, this week. And it's not 3 weeks ago where it seems like it's still far off. Like, it's here. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I want to get to like a lot of Saints with you in just a second. But first, I want to go a little off-topic. I know you and I have talked a couple of times about the baby cakes. They're wrapping it up here in New Orleans, going to Wichita next year. Today and tomorrow, their last couple of games. Chris Miller in our newsroom kind of broke a story and piggybacked with some others that, the active ownership group right now has kind of been blocking the LSED and SMG from finding a new tenant. I opened the show with a monologue saying, I mean, this is bad business by them. And Doug, I'll be honest, it kind of, you know, talk about me getting angry, kind of infuriated me a little bit. You have any parting thoughts on the baby cakes here as they leave town?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure the AAA model is the one that works here. You know, the stadium needs some work. I mean, look, this team has some issues. And I know people got angry when they changed the name, but if you went to for instance, like my niece, my baby niece, she's in her 30s. Like, she wrote me, this is horrible. This is terrible. I can't believe they did this. And I wrote back and said, when was the last time you actually went to a game? And she wrote back, LOL, maybe 5 years ago. It's like their attendance was horrible before that. I say it's okay that AAA baseball is leaving. And I've actually talked to a lot of baseball people about it. I'm not sure it's a bad thing if there is a year where there is no baseball here. I'm not sure that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Give a year off and regroup. Then once that happens, look, and there's been talk, there have been meetings about getting a Southern League team here. I would love that. I actually go to Pensacola every year. I worked in Pensacola for 4 years. We used to live there. We loved it. We go back to Pensacola every summer, and almost every summer we go to a Blue Wahoos game. Now, the Pensacola team is the absolute model for the, you know, best minor league baseball. They won an award as the second best stadium in all minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. And it's a size city that can catch momentum. In Pensacola, it's a big deal. Minor league New Orleans has never considered itself a minor league city, and minor league anything is going to struggle in New Orleans. I do think baseball can work here. I personally, and I watch a lot of baseball, I would rather see a double-A team here than a triple-A team. You're seeing better players. My for instance, is in all the years the Marlins were the triple-A team, we're the parent organization, and we were the triple-A team, the single best prospect they ever had come through that organization was Christian Yelich, the National League MVP last year. Christian Yelich went straight from double-A to the majors. Never even came to New Orleans. He actually came here one time later on a rehab assignment. But the point is, if you follow the double-A team, you got to see this incredible young talent for a whole year. The way AAA is used, it's not so much – it's almost like a taxi squad. It's sort of like your – aging practice squad. If you look at the AAA teams, that's every team has six or seven guys in their 30s, whereas the AA team is all the 22-year-olds who are flying up. Anyway, I know that was probably longer than you wanted me to talk, but I'm okay with the AAA team leaving. I would love to see a AA team come, and I'm okay if there's a year gap. I think that might actually help breed some excitement, and I do think they're going to have to do some upgrades to those stadiums, because if you go to any other minor league stadiums, most of them are going to have a lot more modern things to them than that one, which is not a modern stadium.
Two things, Doug Mouton. Number one, that is a great plan that I hadn't heard before. And number two, you can never talk too long, my friend.
We're about to hit the football season. I mean, I could talk Tulane, I could talk LSU, I could talk Saints forever, and we're talking about minor league baseball, which, based on attendance, if you're trying to read your audience, my guess is your audience is like, what the hell are they talking about? Yeah. LSU and Tulane are about to kick off this week. Idiots talking about baseball. Anyway.
Well, let's go to our professional football team here with Doug Mouton, sports director for WWL TV Channel 4. Roster projections are always something that's, I don't know, fun but futile to do. I did mine tonight. I had I always try to throw one wild projection in there just so, you know, I can be the guy, see, I got it right, even though I never get it right. I had Emmanuel Butler not making the team. I realize that is probably, well, not going to happen. He's going to make the team. Is there any surprise cut, Doug, that you may see coming that, well, maybe the rest of us will be surprised about and you won't?
Yeah, wow, that's a great question. I am positive there's going to be at least one or two guys that is, because Sean Payton does it every year, that are these two guys are in everyone's projections to make the team, and they don't. There's going to be a couple of those. I'm not, and I actually haven't sat down and done a whole roster projection. Maybe I should, just to get the feel of it. I am definitely not convinced Emmanuel Butler makes it. I would definitely not call that a done deal. But, you know, I mean, certainly he's not the first three. And look, Keith Kirkwood was a guy I loved at wide receiver, and he hasn't been seen. now in a couple of weeks. So that becomes a big issue. And then a guy like Sidney Copps, who is a lot like Keith Kirkwood, has actually done a lot of good things in the last couple of weeks. I think the Saints somehow figure out a way to keep Cyril Grayson around. Although I do think he's a practice squad guy, I think Deontay Harris makes the team, and you sort of have to call him a wide receiver. So it might come down to Simi Cobbs or Emmanuel Butler with Deontay Harris as the five. But you saw Sean Payton last week put in, he was asked about it during the week, and he said, look, with Deontay Harris, Bobby Hebert actually asked him, he said, could you use him in the ways you use Tommy Lee Lewis? And he said, that's one thing we got to try to figure out. Can we get, if he's our guy, can we find snaps for him, is the way Sean Payton said it. Meaning, is there some other use, even if it's just bringing him in and giving him to him on jet sweeps or fake jet sweeps. I think he's your fifth receiver. So really you got one spot probably for a number four receiver, and it's probably either Simi Cobbs or Emmanuel Butler. And I'm not sure I wouldn't vote on Simi Cobbs.
That is interesting. I have no idea how to handicap this, by the way, and everybody has their own take on who's actually going to be in and out of that receiver group. Sounds like, and correct me if I heard you wrong here, Doug, Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood off? Is that right? Is that what I heard? Yeah,
no, you see, Austin Carr I would not have on my roster.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
Austin. That I would not. No. I think Tre'Quan Smith has emerged as your three. I think he's had a good camp. He seems to have figured it out. I think he's the most talented of those guys. The knock on him was that he often didn't understand what the offense was doing. And actually, of all the interviews we did it's only a couple of weeks of camp, but you talk to so many guys every day that there's literally so many of them. Two things stood out to me the most in all the interviews we did. One was in California. I was unbelievably impressed with Marshawn Lattimore, who has always there's some guys who come in and they're grown-ups, and some guys, look, I'm in my 50s, so I look at these guys a little different. DeMario Davis is a grown-up the day he walks in the door. Some guys come in and they're like dealing with a big teenager. You know what I mean? And Marshawn Lattimore in Los Angeles was so much more mature and introspective and self-analytical in a way that I really hadn't heard him be. And that like set off like an alarm, you know, for me. It was like, this guy is ready to break out in a big way, because as talented as he is, I think he now is becoming a grown-up to the point that he gets it in a whole different way. And I don't mean that as a criticism. God knows I was an idiot kid when I was 22. So I don't mean that as a criticism sure. of somebody who's got a lot of kid in them. So I don't want it to come out that way. But that was number one. And number two was Tre'Quan Smith, who was so ridiculously honest when we talked to him. We said, you know, what was the deal last year? And he said so many times he would come out of the huddle and he would know the play, and then Drew Brees would look at him. And he would give him a look, and he knew that look meant the play was changing, but he didn't have any idea what the look, what that play now was. You know what I mean? He had no idea how to interpret all of the gestures and looks that, you know, Mike Thomas just knows what he means when he looks at him. You know, Marcus Colston just knew. And Tre'Quan Smith, it was really funny listening to him about trying to figure out, once he got out of a huddle, he was good. And by the time he's at the line of scrimmage, he said he had no idea what to do sometimes. And I think the light has gone on for him. Maybe not totally, but at least enough where I think he's the number three guy. And I think he's super talented. Nobody would ever argue that. So I think he's the three. So really, you're looking for a four and then a five. And I think the five is Deontay Harris, because what he does for you in special teams. So the four is the guy that you can play in the offense that can also play in special teams. And maybe they keep six wide receivers, but I don't think so. I think they keep five and then, you know, keep Cyril Grayson. And then, look, Emmanuel Butler could be a practice squad guy for sure. Mm-hmm. That's my guess.
Okay, help me out with one more in whatever time you want to give us here, Doug. We're talking to Doug Mouton of WWL TV Channel 4. If Nick Easton, the offensive guard they signed to a $22.5 million deal, wasn't guaranteed $4 million of that this year, he probably wouldn't make this roster. I can't figure out whether the Saints are going to take a net loss with that cut and just keep a guy like Will Clapp, or they say, well, we can't really do that, so they're going to keep Easton. Do you have any idea or any guess what they're going to do with that offensive line?
Well, I think that's a smart question, because I agree with you. Easton has it. A friend of mine was talking today about, do you go out and get Jadeveon Clowney and trade Andres Pete? I was like, are you crazy? There's no way you could trade one of your five. I mean, look, I love the five starting offensive linemen. There's no way on earth you could trade one of those guys. First of all, the depth is worse at offensive line than any place on the team. That's the last thing you would want to do. But I agree with you. I agree with your theory 100% that Nick Easton is definitely on the bubble. I think Cam Tom is probably your sixth guy. And the advantage of Andres Pete is that if any of the five go down, you could put Cameron Tom in to replace him. If a guard goes down, obviously Tom plays that. If a center goes down, Tom does that. And if a tackle goes down, you move Pete to tackle and Tom plays guard. So either way, Tom is your first backup. I would guess that Easton is your second. Then you keep one of the swing tackles. I'm guessing Michael Ola, either Ola or Omame. And then Will Clapp would be your nine, and he would also be on the bubble. But I have not been super impressed by Easton. I absolutely think if the Saints thought it would help more to have someone else, that they would cut the salary. I don't think the person – making the money would make a difference to them, especially in a backup role. I don't think they would keep him just because. I think they would just take the $4 million loss if they thought. If Nick Easton makes the team, it won't be because he's got money coming to him. It'll be because they thought he'd be better in a situation where they need somebody than whoever the other ninth guy would be.
Yep, well said. And they do have, what, $6 million in cap space or so they can take a little bit of a hit. He's Doug Mouton, sports director for WWL TV Channel 4. You can watch him there every day, and he's on Twitter at DMoutonWWL. Buddy, always appreciate the conversations, man.
Yeah, look, and I'm sorry that I took your questions too long. I get, 3 minutes on TV, so actually the opportunity to talk. I take it and run with it too much. I'm sorry.
Russell
Westbrook is a point guard. No one else is getting the ball.
I was telling you last time I did fourth down on four, I was like, Doug, I'm so sorry. I'm used to doing these, long monologues on radio. I took up all your time. So back at you, man.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Seth,
okay.
Anytime.
All right, thanks, man. Right. Doug Mouton, WWL TV Channel 4. We'll take a quick break. We're coming back with your calls at 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. It's the last lap on WWL. Boy, Doug Mouton was great in that spot, talking cakes, talking Saints roster cutdowns. Thanks to him again. We'll have that up on the podcast if you missed any of it. It's worth another listen, even if you did hear it. Also getting a ton of feedback on my evisceration of a caller, Fern, at the bottom of the hour. Here's one from the 504. Seth, I'm so happy you handled that guy earlier. I can't stand it when people do that and the announcer just goes to break. Another one, please dump that last caller. Don't go to news. You're better than news anyways. We didn't there. More coming in. Some I can't read because they're a little vulgar on air, kind of trashing the guy. But mainly, we had somebody calling in. If you missed it, wondering, what are they talking about? We had a caller call in and act like he had inside information on, Matt Canada berating players and calling them idiots and all sorts of stuff. And I just, it was bad. It was bad. Here is a text from the 504 on the baby cakes. New Orleans fans don't support losers. I don't think it had anything to do with that. And like I said during my opening monologue about the cakes, during this last year, remember they announced in September of 2018 that they were going to move to Wichita. I did what I thought was a responsible thing, and I didn't really talk about it. We mentioned that they were leaving, but I didn't bash them. I was respectful in my, antipathy towards them. But sounds like they're blocking SMG and they're blocking the LSCD from searching out new tenants by not giving them notice that they're actually going to break their lease, break their contract when everybody knows it. Not having given them an official written word or anything. And it's just really bad business. And I don't understand that part. So, yeah, good riddance again. To them. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll at WWL.com. Are you a bad LSU fan if you don't go to the Georgia Southern game this Saturday? Simple yes or no. You can cast your votes at WWL.com or the radio.com app. Well, tomorrow, yep, turn down your TV. Sync up to Zach and Deuce here on WWL Radio. It's the last Saints preseason game against the Miami Dolphins at home in the Dome. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock with the Acadian Windows Fans First Take with myself and former Saints offensive lineman Steve Court. We go till 5, then you can join Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Game time, 7 o'clock just after that with the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, and color analyst Deuce McAllister, plus our buddy Steve Geller on the sidelines. And after the game, we'll be talking a lot of Saints cutdowns, what the guys saw in that 60 minutes against the Dolphins. Bobby, Christian, the point after till 1 a.m. That's tomorrow on Saints Radio WWL. Remember, you can also stream Saints game on your desktop or laptop. Sorry, the NFL does not allow stream games on mobile devices. One more break. We're back wrapping up hour number one here on The Last Lap. Ooh, boy. Scott Woodward, LSU athletic director, taking shots and big ones at one Alabama head football coach. That will be our moment of zen to end the show. And trust me, it is going to be one that you'll want to hear. Speaking of LSU, Tiger fans, if you're ready for Coach O and the Tigers, LSU football kicks off their season this Saturday against Georgia Southern in Tiger Stadium. We've got wall-to-wall coverage for you at 1 o'clock. Christian, Herb Tyler right here, the Gulf Coast Bank & Trust Tiger tailgating show. They'll be live, actually, at North Stadium Drive over in Baton Rouge. You can catch them live. Go and say hi. 4:30, we throw it to the official network pregame show with Chris Blair and Doug Morrow. And then game time is at 6:30. Tigers against the Golden Eagles Saturday. Make up a day of it with us here on WWL. My Saints 53-man roster projections are online at WWL.com. And we just ran a little long. Lots of great talk with Doug Mouton. And during the first half of the hour, so we're up against the clock. Right after news, I will unveil my roster projection. And there's one very surprise cut. Well, Doug Mouton said maybe it shouldn't be a surprise. Hint, hint. But I left one certain somebody off my roster that almost nobody else is going to do that. He'll take a look at my, yes, this is wild. It's always a futile exercise, but come have fun with me. Plus, next hour, Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup and radio host on the Southeastern Radio Network, will line up with Alan Waddell. In hour three, Ben Mintz, Ralph Michaels, Carter Bryant as we head out to Vegas. That's all coming your way. Still 2 hours of the show to go. It's Seth Dunlap, Logan, behind the glass, the last lap on WWL. And right now, come hang out with me on Facebook Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.